reading is Proverbs chapter 2, so just past the midpoint of your Bible. Page 636 in the church Bibles, and we'll read it together. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or retain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it.
It's part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And we saw that much of the book was written by King Solomon, partly to teach his son and heir how to rule wisely. Solomon had been given this gift of wisdom by God, and he wanted his son to be wise too. We looked at chapter 1. We saw that the key verse is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then we looked at the rest of chapter 1 and saw how important it is to listen to the right voice. Don't listen to the world and its wisdom, but listen to the voice of wisdom calling out. And we said that whenever we read about wisdom in Proverbs, we've got to keep in mind that Christ is the wisdom of God. So this book can teach us how to live wisely. As Christians, we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Today we're going to look at chapter 2. Solomon starts to set out the benefits of wisdom. He gives some instructions on to his son on how to get wisdom. We're going to see that we need to search for it, but on the other hand, it's a gift from God. And we're going to see some of the wonderful benefits. If we follow the advice that Solomon gives, we're going to know God, we'll understand how to live, and then we'll enjoy God's protection. So before we look at the words, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us by your Holy Spirit through these words in front of us. Help us as we study this passage this morning. We need to hear your voice. Help us to expect you to speak to our hearts. Help us to listen attentively. Help us to believe what you say and to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. What are people obsessed with in this world? What do people devote their time and their energy to? Might be sport. Football is a multi-million pound industry, isn't it? Might be celebrities. Millions of people watch reality TV series and Apparently, there's such thing as influencers on the internet that people look at and yeah, they're obsessed with them. Girls in school are obsessed with people that I've never heard of. Might be money or careers. Some people are obsessed with computer games. Going out searching for Pokemon characters is still something that some people do. Some people are obsessed with having a fantastic house that's absolutely clean and spotless. I'll say nothing about that. Some people are obsessed with family. Well, most of those things are not wrong in themselves, are they? But if those are our priorities, if that's our top priority in life, there's something wrong. What should we be obsessed with, if I can put it like that? What should we be devoting our time and our energy to? Well, let's look at the first four verses of chapter 2 here. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then, we'll leave the then for the moment, but look at those things in verses 1 to 4. Remember, this is Solomon teaching his son. He's trying to prepare him for his role as God's chosen king. He says, if you accept my words, store up my commands, turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, call for insight, cry aloud for understanding. If you look for it, if you search for it, in other words, if you give your time and energy to searching for wisdom, then, and then he lists, he sort of begins to set out the incredible benefits that wisdom will bring his son. He'll know God, he'll understand how to live, he'll be protected from wicked men and women. And we can apply those words to ourselves as Christians reading the Word of God. I mean, we know we're saved by grace and not as a result of our human effort, but we do want to know God more fully, don't we? And we want to understand better how to live. So we do need to give our time and our energy to this search for wisdom. So, let's look at some of those phrases. Accept my words. These are the words of God. We need to accept them and believe them and receive them. Store up my commands. We need to keep them safe. We need to memorize them, store them in our hearts. We need to turn our ears to wisdom. Keep listening to the word of God. We need to apply our hearts to understanding. We need to make an effort to understand what we hear and apply it to our lives. We need to call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. We need to pray about what we hear and what we read. Cry out to be fed by God. We need to look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. You may have heard a story about 10 years ago in the paper about an Israeli woman who bought a new mattress for her mother as a surprise. The old one was getting a bit ropey. And she threw the old one away and gave the mother the new mattress. But unknown to her, the mother had been using the mattress to store her savings. She didn't like banks. And she'd stored, according to the newspaper, about $1 million worth of money in the mattress. So clearly when the woman realized what she'd done, she rushed out to retrieve the old mattress, but it had already gone. She rushed to the local dump, but she found that it had already been shipped to one of two larger landfill sites, along with another 3,000 tons of rubbish. And apparently the boss of the landfill site said the woman had appeared totally desperate when she arrived, which you can understand. I mean, I'm sure you don't play the lottery, but imagine you won £10 million on the lottery, and or rather you've got the ticket somewhere in the house. You know that you've won 10 million, but you can't find the ticket. You'd tear the place apart, wouldn't you? To try and find that ticket, to find the hidden treasure. You devote all your time and effort to search for it. And that's what Solomon is saying we should do with wisdom. Jesus tells some parables which are similar about the kingdom of heaven, doesn't he? About the treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he sold all he had to buy the field. The pearl of great price, the merchant sold all he had to buy it. We need to devote ourselves in a similar way to this search for wisdom. So we need to be reading God's word. We need to be coming to church and hearing God's word preached. We need to be going to midweek groups, reading with others, listening to sermons online, if you like that sort of thing. We need to be reading books about the Bible, soaking it all up and thinking about it and applying it. And we need to be praying relentlessly, crying out in desperation for insight and understanding. Does that sound like you? Does it sound like the way that you're living your life? I'm quite convicted by these words, really. We sort of reach a point in our Christian lives where we think we've arrived and we know everything. Well, let's pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us of any apathy or complacency we've got. And perhaps you do those things. Perhaps you absolutely love the Bible, you love hearing it preached, but maybe you're content to let the preacher apply it. Mark does an excellent job of opening up the Bible to us and preaching, telling us what the passage means, so that our eyes are open to the glory of God and our sinfulness. And he preaches Christ crucified so that we're full of joy and grace at God who saves us. And he makes an effort to apply the teaching to us, so that we can take it away on a Sunday and our lives will be changed. But let's be honest, how many people are there in here? We're all individuals. We've all got different lives and situations. So we need to do the real work, don't we, of applying what we hear to our lives. We need to go home and think through what we need to do in the light of what we've heard. So we need to search for wisdom and really devote time and energy to it. But I'm aware that there may be some people thinking, I do that stuff. I put loads of effort into the Christian life, but I never seem to get anywhere. And I get really depressed when someone up the front tells me that I need to work harder. And there are many Christians who feel like that. They're exhausted and discouraged and frustrated. So let's look at verse 6. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Wisdom is a gift from God, just like our salvation. We're not saved by any of those actions from verses 1 to 4. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if we rely on our own strength in the Christian life to grow, we'll end up exhausted and frustrated. I mean, I suppose it's possible that Solomon's son might have thought that this was, these were conditions. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then you'll get wisdom. But as Christians, we know that we worship a loving Father who delights to give us wisdom. He uses those means. He uses Bible study and prayer to do it, but it's a gift from him. And even Solomon's son should have realized that from verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Wisdom belongs to God. He's the ultimate source of all wisdom. He delights to give it to those who seek it. I like that verse in Philippians chapter 2 where it says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So, wisdom is something we must search for with all our heart, but it's also a gift that we receive from a loving and merciful God, a Father who loves to give us good things. But what are the benefits? I've entitled this sermon, The Benefits of Wisdom. I was going to do The Benefits of Wisdom Part 1, because as we go through the rest of Proverbs, we're going to see so much more. But let's just look at the ones that are in this passage. Verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Verse 16, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman. And then verse 20, thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Well, let's look at each of those in a little bit more detail. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Those are the two sort of essential elements of true Christianity, aren't they? The sort of the awe and the intimacy. There's the awe, which is described there as the fear of the Lord, and the intimacy, the knowledge of God. So firstly, the awe and reverence, which we call the fear of the Lord, the appreciation that the Lord is the infinite creator God, the holy and majestic ruler of the universe, the one who's perfect in every way, and the knowledge that we are sinful creatures who deserve his wrath and judgment. The fear of the Lord, sort of falling at his feet in wonder and in gratitude when we see our Saviour dying on the cross in our place. I've used the illustration before of being caught on a mountain as a terrifying storm breaks out, and you find a cave to shelter in, and you know that you're completely safe, but you're still stunned and amazed by the terrifying ferocity of the storm outside. And that's a good illustration of the fear of the Lord. We are completely safe because Jesus has died in our place, but we still come to God in reverence and awe, full of wonder at what he's done for us. So we will understand the fear of the Lord, but we'll also find the knowledge of God. So this is the other side of the coin, if you like. It isn't some dry and academic knowledge. It's not knowing about God. It's knowing him and loving him as our Father. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." That's why Jesus died, to bring us to God. And John 17, verse 3 says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's the best thing possible, isn't it? It's better than any of those things that people get obsessed about, that we thought about at the beginning. It's better than all of them put together. It will bring us more joy and more contentment and more delight than anything else. If we're wise, we will know God intimately. We'll submit to him in reverence and awe because we understand the fear of the Lord. But we'll know him as our Father and love him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. Jesus will be our treasure and our delight. And the Holy Spirit will live in our hearts. We'll be able to say with the psalmist, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So that's the first benefit of wisdom, that we'll know God. But also, we'll know how to live. Look at verse 7 and 8. You just pick out the words in there. Upright, blameless, just, faithful. Verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. Christianity is not just about knowing God, but it's about knowing how to live in the holiness that he requires. And that's the practical result of making godly choices in life. having wisdom. And how does it work? Well, look at verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. James 1, verse 18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you. The word is planted in us. Wisdom enters our heart. So that what happens over time is that wisdom and knowledge of God become natural to us. They become our way of thinking. We find that we want to live holy lives, not because we have to, but because it's pleasing to us. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So wisdom will teach us that sin is evil and repugnant to God, and that it defiles and condemns us. It will teach us that we can't escape the guilt and the power of sin in our own strength, and it will point us to the Lord Jesus, a Saviour who's willing and able to take the judgment of sin in our place. Wisdom will show us the beauty of holiness. And it's all heart work. It's wisdom entering our heart. It's like water for the thirsty or food for the starving. And knowledge becomes pleasant to our soul. The third benefit of wisdom is protection. Protection from the wicked. Look back at verses 7 and 8. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. He guards the course of the just. He protects the way of his faithful ones. Verse 11, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Well, who from? Well, verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Verse 16, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman. Let's look at 12 to 15. What do these verses tell us about wicked men? It tells us that their words are perverse. Their paths are crooked. They've left the straight paths. Their ways are devious. They've left the straight paths and they rejoice in the perverseness of evil. They delight in doing wrong. And we can see that, can't we, when we look around us at the world. We can see that many in our land, sadly, rejoice in things that are contrary to God's will. It really saddens us, doesn't it, when we see on television reports of pride marches or celebration of changes in the abortion law. I can understand people having a different view on abortion, but the way that that abortion is actually celebrated just is so sad. If we're wise, we'll know what the straight paths are, and because we know and fear God, we'll rejoice in the straight paths. This is really important for young people listening. Don't be taken in by the ways of the world. The devious ways, the perverse words, the crooked paths. You need to get wisdom. You need to read God's word and find out the truth. And for older ones here, we need to pray for young people, don't we? We need to pray that they will not be taken off the straight path. Verses 16 to 19 says that wisdom will save us from the adulterous woman. The word here is actually, it actually means stranger or foreigner, so it might be a reference to the adulterous practices of the nations who surrounded Israel, so that Solomon's saying, he's warning his son not to be seduced by foreign women around him. But it might be that, just pointing out that adultery is foreign to the true Israelite. If someone's committed to obeying God's law, it specifically rules out adultery, doesn't it? And verse 18 tells us the consequences. Her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. So the death penalty was literally the penalty for adultery in Israel, and it's a stark warning to any Christians against sexual sin. Men in particular, sexual sin is a danger for you, and that's why the writer returns to that theme a number of times in Proverbs. We're not going to dwell on it today, but we will come back to that. But wisdom, if we search out wisdom as hidden treasure, it will help to save us and protect us from the ways of wicked men and from the adulterous woman, because we'll know the right way to live and it will be in our heart. Finally, the next benefit of wisdom in this chapter is, I've entitled it Life with God. Let's look at verse 20, 21 and 22. You will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. To Solomon, this would be the ultimate motivation to lay before his son. If you're wise, you will be one of the upright and blameless who live in the land. But if you're wicked and unfaithful, you'll be cut off from it. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the promised land, isn't he? The land had been promised to Abraham. And after many years of ups and downs, the Israelites had finally taken possession of the land. And under Solomon, they were enjoying a time of peace and prosperity. And God had promised that if they continued to honour and obey him, that they would live in the land and he would be present with them. They would live with God. And that's the supreme blessing, isn't it? God living with his people in his promised land. But he'd warned them that if they disobeyed, they would suffer all the curses set out in Deuteronomy. They would suffer exile and they'd be cut off from the land and torn from it. And so Solomon pleads with his son to choose wisdom and choose life in the land. So how does that apply to us? Well, we still have a stark choice between living with God under his blessing or being cut off from him forever. It's the choice between heaven and hell. If we cry out to God in repentance and faith, he delights to save us and to shower us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He will guard us and protect us and save us. Doesn't mean that we'll be protected from every bad thing that could happen, but it does mean that we'll be protected from the very worst thing. In other words, the judgment of God when we die. And we know that that's because Jesus has already endured that judgment in our place. If you put your trust in Jesus, you'll know that he has taken the fury of God's righteous anger at your sin when he died on the cross. And because of that, one day, you'll inherit the earth and reign with Christ forever. You'll live with God in his land. But if you reject him, if you continue to walk in the crooked and devious ways of wicked men, you'll one day face the judgment of a holy God and you'll be cut off from the land and torn from it. So, friends, I want to plead with anyone here this morning that doesn't yet know Jesus. Just as Solomon pleaded with his son, choose wisdom and choose to know God and choose to follow his ways. Come to him in repentance and faith, and you'll find the Lord in his grace will welcome you with open arms. And you'll know eternal life, life with God forever, starting now. And for those of us who already know the salvation of a loving God, let's follow Solomon's advice in this chapter. Let's continue to search for wisdom as for hidden treasure. Let's keep crying out for understanding. Our loving Father delights to give us good gifts, and he'll give us wisdom. And that wisdom will help us to fear the Lord, and it will help us to truly know God personally. It will help us to understand how to live holy lives, and it will save us from wicked men and women. And ultimately, we will live in the land. We'll enjoy fellowship with God in a new heaven and new earth to come.